Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we bring another interesting, fascinating episode before you of our program Perished Kings of the Past. Today, again, we'll be discussing about an individual whose account is very interesting, how he ruled over his kingdom and what were his state of affairs and how he met his end. Before delving into it, let's first of all listen to the virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated, "He who sends salutations upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today we'll be talking about the account of a king, of an individual, whose account goes back to even before the time of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. There was a king who was called Faelqus, and some historians even mention his name as Yabis. Whenever there's a king, along with his kingship, along with his rule, also comes his status, his power, authority, and his commands. They are accepted everywhere. What we need to understand is that higher powers bring higher responsibilities as well. Where we have so many things going in our favor due to rule and power, at the same time, we also have several challenges that we face due to it. Now, Faelqus or Yabis, after becoming a king, he developed a passion to keep horses. He had a yearning to keep horses. And Faelqus or Yabis, he was the king of ancient Greece. And this kingdom of his, where he was ruling the kingdom of ancient Greece, you can consider this to be a sub-kingdom of the Persian Empire as well, because Persian Empire was very, very vast, and these small states, these small kingdoms, used to pay tax to the Persian Empire in order to keep their rule, in order to keep their kingdom. As Faelqus was the king of ancient Greece, so to keep his rule and his power intact, he also had to pay tax to the Persian Empire. And this tax used to be pieces of gold. And they were not ordinary or small pieces. Those pieces of gold were the size of an egg. And they were gold coins to the same size as well that were paid in tax to the emperor of Persia. So this was the tax that Faelqus or Yabis used to pay to keep his kingdom intact under the rule of the Persian Empire. Since Faelqus was the king of a certain area, hence a desire rose in his heart to become the king of the entire world. And he also wanted to save himself and his kingdom from paying that tax to the Persian Empire. So he started to develop these desires and these thoughts in his heart. Therefore, to achieve this target, Faelqus or Yabis started to make efforts. And having the dreams of ruling the entire world, Faelqus started planning different tactics and to deploy different ploys in action. So he started many conspiracies to achieve this very target of his, to bring this very desire of his into practicality. However, the dear viewers of Madani Channel, death does not spare anyone. Whether it is a king or a beggar, everyone has to taste death one day. The king who was dreaming to rule the entire world was eventually killed. He was eventually assassinated. The king of ancient Greece, he met his end. And he had only one heir, who was his 20 years old son. Now, since Phaelcus or Iarbas, he died and there was no more king anymore. So it is understandable that that very state, that very kingdom was in need of a king. Now, how a king was chosen in those days in that particular area, what their custom was that all the candidates who would claim for the kingship, who would claim to become a king, they would try to prove their claim of kingship through fighting one another. They would end up shedding blood and much more turmoil would be caused. And eventually, at the end, whoever would win, he would be deserving to become the king. So this was the custom of that area at that time, to choose a king once there was a vacant position for the king. Now, the 20 years old son of Phaelcus, he also came at the forefront to claim for the kingship. Phaelcus, he was a very intelligent person. And what he did was that he gave his son under the upbringing, under the guardianship of the wisest person of his kingdom, who was called Aristolis, who's also known as Aristu in Urdu and Aristotle in English as we call him. So Phaelcus had given his 20 years old child in the guardianship of Aristotle so that he could bring him up with his wisdom and other expertise that he possessed. So through his knowledge and skills, Aristotle developed expertise and marvelous skills in the 20 years old son of Phaelcus that he dominated everyone in the matters of war, wisdom, intellect, resolving issues, etc. Even in farsightedness, no one matched his skills. So this 20 years old son of Phaelcus, he was eventually an extremely wise and intelligent person. So after the death of Phaelcus, there wasn't a need of much blood to be shed or much turmoil to be caused. And all the people, they accepted this 20 years old son of Phaelcus to become a king. So without much of an effort, without a lot of blood being shed, without much turmoil being caused, the 20 years old son of Phaelcus was chosen as the king. Now this 20 years old son of Phaelcus also had a stepsister, and greed and curse of rule had overtaken this 20 years old son of Phaelcus. One day he thought to himself that my stepsister can become a hindrance, an obstacle in my kingship, and she can play a negative role in me staying a king. So with these thoughts in his mind, he also ended up killing his stepsister also. And it was just for the sake of the rule of this world that he kept increasing killing and bloodshed all around. Now, as we spoke earlier, that this very area of ancient Greece came under the rule of the Persian Empire, and they used to pay tax to the Persian Emperor. Now, at that time, Dara was the king of the Persian Empire at that time, and the inhabitants of ancient Greece, they used to pay tax to the Persian Empire. And Dara was the one who used to receive all these taxes from these states, from these kingdoms, and also from the kingdom of Phaelcus of ancient Greece. And now his 20 years old son had become the king of this state of ancient Greece. Now, after he became the king, what he did was that he refused to pay tax to the Persian Empire. And when the due time passed to pay tax, Dara sent his ambassador to him saying that taxes and other gifts that you used to pay, pay them over now. And this 20 years old son of Phaelcus, what he replied to Dara was that, O Persian ruler, you have killed the hens of the ancient Greeks that used to lay golden eggs. Therefore, you will not be paid any kind of tax anymore. So the 20 years old son of Phaelcus, he sent a clear message to Dara that the time is over when we used to pay you tax. Now we will not pay you tax any more. And in other words, he had declared an open war against Dara, against the empire of Persia. When Dara received this news, he became infuriated. He was raged and threatened the 20-year-old son of Phalcus that he will attack his kingdom, the ancient Greece, and he will wipe the signs from the face of this earth. And on the other hand, the 20-year-old son of Phalcus had already planned to attack Persian Empire before they could attack him. And in the background, he had already started the preparations to mobilize an army that could attack Persian Empire. So what he eventually did was that he attacked the Persian Empire before they could attack him. And their attack was so severe that the Persian army could not face them, and they eventually got defeated. Dara was killed, and the son of Phalcus became the ruler of that area too. So first, this 20-year-old son of Phalcus was the ruler of only ancient Greece, the area that we were talking about earlier. And now he became the ruler of the Persian Empire as well, under whom they were before. So after becoming the ruler of that area as well, he also married the daughter of Dara. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, do you know who this 20-year-old son of Phalcus was? What was his name? He was none other than Sikandar Azam, as we know in Urdu, and Alexander the Great, as we know in English. This was Alexander the Great, how he became the king, whose son he was, and how he ruled over the Persian Empire as well. And remember another fact over here, that when we mention his name as Sikandar Azam in Urdu, many people confuse him with Sikandar Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who's also been mentioned in the Holy Quran. But remember that Sikandar Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu is different, and Sikandar Azam, or Alexander the Great, who we are talking about today, he is different. So both of these personalities are different. Now, the same thoughts echoed in the mind of Sikandar Azam, in the mind of Alexander, that echoed in the mind of his father, Phalcus. He also decided to rule the entire world. And to do so, he thought to himself that he should carry attacks one after the other. He should conquer different lands and different areas in order to bring this dream of his into reality, this dream of ruling the entire world. Therefore, he attacked Egypt, and after a little bit of resilience from them, he conquered Egypt as well. And in Egypt, he inhabited a city which was called Alexandria, which also exists today. So this city was also named after his name, Alexander the Great. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, day by day, Sikandar Azam, Alexander the Great, was achieving victories, and these victories were creating a storm inside him, inside his heart. Therefore, he started to call himself, and made other people as well call him, the Greek God, Ma'adallah. So, this is what he started to consider himself, and also make other people to call him as well. It came down to such an extent that he who wouldn't call him or consider him to be the Greek god, he would get him killed. He would get him murdered. One day, his close friend was sad by him, and he asked him to call him the Greek god, to which he refused. And Alexander, Sikandar Azam, killed his close friend as well by attacking him with the spear. Why? Just because he did not call him the Greek god. And if we stop over here for a few moments and ponder that, what was it that enticed Alexander to call himself the Greek god and made other people to call him the Greek god? And what exactly enticed him to carry out all the bloodshed, to carry out all the killings? It was none other than the greed of rule, the greed of power, the greed of kingdom, the greed of money, the greed of this dunya, the greed of this world. It was this greed that was pushing him in the dark pits of destruction. So we need to also question ourselves and reflect upon our states as well, in case we possess any of these attributes within ourselves or not. And in case we do, we need to refrain from them. We need to stay away from them before these qualities push us in the pits of darkness and destruction. After conquering Egypt, Persia, and few other areas, the army officials of Alexander advised him that we've acquired many victories now. Hence, we should now return. But Alexander wanted to become the king of the entire world. Hence, he refused to listen to his army officials and said that until we don't attack and conquer the subcontinent, we won't return back. So, he first attacked Afghanistan and conquered it. Then, he faced Raja Porus, who was the king of the subcontinent at that time. Now, he wanted to attack the Indian subcontinent. So, he mobilized a fierce army of 120,000 army that was on foot and 15,000 army men who were riding upon animals. Conquering Afghanistan, Herat, and other areas, Alexander now reached Jhelum. Jhelum that is currently situated in Pakistan. Now, viewers of Madani Channel, Alexander continued the war after reaching Jhelum. Here, many people joined his army failing to fight him, and many people joined his army without even fighting him. When Alexander faced Raja Porus, who was also a very powerful king of India, a fierce battle took place between both of them. Raja Porus was also a very powerful king who also possessed a very powerful, a very fierce army that also possessed elephants within the army. However, the army of Alexander was extremely skilled, was extremely experienced. They were very swift and very, very skilled in what they did. So they trampled over the army of Raja Porus. The army of Raja Porus could not stand in front of them, could not face them, could not fight them. In this battle, around 20,000 warriors of Raja Porus were killed, as well as around 100 elephants of his were also killed. Raja Porus, he was captured injured. Hence, Alexander, he freed Raja Porus. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, the people of India gave Alexander such presents, gold, jewels, etc., that Alexander and his people were astonished to receive. In other words, the shine of the gold and jewels of India had dazzled the eyes of Alexander. Alexander was greatly impressed with the culture and civilization of India. Being immensely impressed by an Indian philosopher, he made him his close ally, his companion, and started to acquire knowledge and marifa from him. Alexander used to learn wisdom and knowledge from that Indian philosopher. One day, that philosopher had some soil in his hand. He showed it to Alexander and spoke to him about life and death. So, he gave Alexander an example of life and death by showing him that soil. He said that, "Your Honor, you are receiving victories over victories. You are conquering places over places. You are spreading your rule and reign. However, this soil is giving you a message that no matter, even if you gather the riches and wealth of the entire world, still one day a person has to die and mix in this soil." He said to Alexander that, "Your Honor, death follows a person like a hungry lion. You never know when and in what state it captures a person. Therefore, a person should not focus on his worldly matters only. Rather, he should ponder upon his hereafter as well." Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are different opinions regarding the death cause of Alexander. Different causes have been mentioned in the books of history regarding his death. Alexander had reached the age of 36 and he ruled over approximately half of the world. At this point, he ultimately met his end. Although his kingdom was expanding, although he was spreading his kingdom, his rule was becoming bigger and bigger, but at the same time, he had neglected the fact that death was also following him every moment. With every passing moment, he was getting closer to death. He had forgotten about this ultimate fact. According to one opinion, it is stated that his wife, the daughter of Dara, gave him poison, which became a cause of his death. According to another opinion, it is stated that when the city of Babel was conquered, then while celebrating this victory, they consumed alcohol all night long. He fell ill to pneumonia, and this pneumonia became the cause of his death. And another reason that is stated in the books of history is that the habit of excessive drinking became the cause of his death. So these are some different causes that have been mentioned, that have been opined by the historians in the books of history regarding his death. And after his death, his dead body was brought back to ancient Greece, the actual piece of land that they actually ruled over. A great coffin embroidered with diamonds and jewels was made. His body was mummified and placed inside that coffin. And then that coffin was buried in the land of Alexandria. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is stated that a golden hand up to the elbow was made and placed on the grave of Alexander. But later, his mother had it removed from there. Today, the place where the grave of Alexander is placed has changed, has turned into desolated and deserted ruins. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was the account of Alexander, how he became a king, how greatly he spread his rule, his kingdom. He ruled over around half of this world, but eventually met his death. He became a perished king of the past. At one time, he had awe, he had dignity, he had honor, he had grandeur, he had so-called majesty. But now his grave has changed into desolated and deserted ruins. His name has even been wiped away from the face of this earth. His signs have been wiped away from the face of this earth. And now he would be facing his recompense in his grave. We come to know that it was the greed of rule, kingdom, power, money, etc. that made him commit all this bloodshed, that made him go to the maximum extent of brutalities and tyrannies. He did succeed somewhat in achieving his desire of ruling over the entire world, but only after 36 years of age, he met his end. After he became a king, only 16 years he spent as a king. He became a king at the age of 20, and he left this world at the age of 36. Only 16 years he spent as a king. And within these 16 years, he crossed all the limits of brutalities, of tyrannies, of oppressions, just to rule over this world. And eventually, he met his end. It gives us a message that no matter whatever we acquire in this world, no matter how much fame, no matter how much wealth, no matter whatever we acquire in this world, at the end of the day, we will meet our end. We will meet our death. We will depart this world and face our recompense either in the shape of being rewarded or in the shape of being punished, depending on what kind of actions we performed in this world. So this was all for our today's episode. Inshallah Zawajal will bring another interesting and instructive account before you of another perished king of the past. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all.